This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It is Thursday today. Been a busy week, but it's been a good week. We've gotten a lot of stuff done and made some progress on the big project at my major client. Everything seems to be pottering along there. Certainly have a lot more work to do, and the deadline is approaching. We are supposed to be done by mid-September, but I've already talked to them about extending to the end of September since I'm going on vacation. And so this week I went ahead and started building the builders that will actually create the rough of the final document. I'm going to have to hand tweak it a little bit, unfortunately, because it looks like Word has a few little bugs in it. But hey, that's life in the big city. In fact, tonight is the first automated build I should be doing of the final document components. So this will be fun to see if this actually all works out. Everything's puttering along with Knit Central. In fact, I'm heading home now and then get this uploaded real quick and turn around and head right back into my daughter's to do some more recording for Knit Central. We're still kind of finding our rhythm again, because with new baby, you know, there's a few distractions, but that's okay. My wife is also coming along. Grammy is coming along with us, and so she kind of takes care of Clara, and then Lizzie and I go into the bedroom and do some recording, the office, and do some recording. It's our guest bedroom. It works out okay. Last week, my wife had to something else she had to do, so I think we only got 4 episodes recorded, but we knew that it wasn't going to be a high productivity night, so that's just fine. I had said a couple of weeks ago that I would be talking about the Super Secret Project, and so I think we're fine to start talking about this now. I have been working on this project since about March of this year. I was going along just happy as a clam, writing my little books. I had finished up with Amanda and the Skleeberry Tree, or I was close to finishing up. Maybe I had finished up. No, I was close. It was going into beta. That's what it was. It was going into beta, and I had already started making notes. Actually, it had just gone into beta because I had already started making notes on the next major series of books that I'm going to start. And I had that underway when I had gotten a call months earlier to come over to CBC, Central Bible College, my alma mater, and actually do a little talk for the new students there. And so I thought, well, that's fine. You know, I can do that. And it was about a week before I was supposed to go over to do that that I was driving down the road, and it was just after I had read an article about people taking pictures of themselves with the iPhone and holding down the camera button and then standing in front of their mirror and releasing it, and you know, all that stuff that people do. And I thought, this is goofy. You know, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And then just almost immediately after I was thinking about that, this idea just popped into my brain about, you know, a little contraption that you could build that would have a couple of mirrors that would do this. And I thought, huh, that's kind of interesting. So I hopped on the internet probably that evening, or maybe it was that evening. And I started looking around because I thought, okay, this is a dead simple idea. Somebody has done this. And I did find that there was a company that had produced something similar to what I had thought about in 2007, but they had done it in conjunction with some video conferencing software. And the way they had done it, they had ended up flipping the image upside down. And so then they had to write video conferencing software to turn the image back around. In their video conferencing software, they had to write a flipper to turn it back around. And So, but that was 2007, and so I thought, wow, no one's done anything with this since 2007, and I am in the habit, and one of the reasons that I'm talking about this, by the way, this is episode 47, one of the reasons that I'm decided to talk about this in multiple episodes to come is because there is a process of decision making that I have adopted over the years that has served me very, very well. And one of the first elements of that process is I try not to let ideas just dribble out my ear. Because ideas are all around us, and you can be wandering along and just get an idea. Well, okay. If you get an idea, just don't immediately think, oh, well, I can't do that. Don't do that. Start looking into it. You know, you might find that there's something you can do there, something you can contribute to the world. So, in the first instance, I do try to make sure that ideas don't just dribble out my ear. And if I have a little idea and I think, huh, I think that would work. Because this just popped into my mind, nearly fully formed. It's worth your time when that happens to go check some things out. Because there's a certain tenor to God's communication with us. There's a certain genre that it comes in, and typically it appears magically in somewhat full formation. That doesn't mean there's still a lot of work to do and a lot of details to be worked out. But typically, when God is whispering to me, it will be in whole thoughts, not just one word at a time. I mean, it'll be like thinking, oh, hey, oh, okay, got that. So shortly after that, it might have been that night, might have been the next night, I decided that I would go to Hobby Lobby and just get some supplies. So I bought some foam board and got some mirrors and went home, and probably within about 2 hours, taking that initial design that I saw in my mind as far as the angles and the construction, I took that initial design and went bangity bang bang bang, and I had a prototype up. My mirrors were too small because I undercalculated the size that was needed for the mirrors, but I had a prototype up, and it quasi worked. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. So the next night I went by and got some different mirrors, tried them. I think the third night I went by and got some different mirrors, and it took me 2 or 3 runs at it, but I ended up with something that, you know, actually halfway worked. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. What am I supposed to do with this now? Because just because an idea pops into your head doesn't necessarily mean that you're just supposed to drop everything and run after it. When an idea pops into your head, you really need to do some research and kind of see where it's at and see if it makes sense. Because this partnership that the Eternal is trying to generate with us is not a partnership by rote. It's not a partnership where God just seeks to be the puppet master and manipulate you like a marionette. God's purpose in our lives is to have a partnership with us, is to have a dance with us, as we've talked about before, where we can enjoy his input, but be fully engaged with our free will. And so I've come to understand that when I get ideas, even if I know they're from God, I still have the full capability to engage my full free will and decide whether I'm going forward with them and make the best decision I can make based on principles that work. and that actually comes into play later in this story, that we may or may not get to. We'll see. This will probably be a several episode arc. So I get this little thing and I put it together, and basically it allows me to put an iPhone or an Android phone into it and turn the rear-facing camera into a front-facing camera. Hey, that works out pretty good. And it's fun. And I start showing it to people, and they're like, wow, that's cool. And then I start thinking, okay, is there a business idea here? Are enough people interested in this? And so I start talking to people and saying, okay, what would you pay for something like this? You know, if it was made out of plastic. And I get a lot of different ideas about how I could change the design and all that sort of thing. And so I'm working along on it, and I'm thinking, what is this really for? And I just decide, well, we'll just take it a step at a time, and we'll see where it leads. Well, the next week then, I went to my alma mater, Central Bible College, here in Springfield, Missouri. And I brought it along with me. I felt like I should bring it along with me. Spoke to my alma mater. And it was very interesting because I did some question and answers at the end. And one of the questions that I received after talking to them about the music notation stuff I had written and the other things that I've done in my life, one of the questions I received was, well, do you feel like software development and the opportunities are just all gone now? That there was a time when you really could have a garage industry where people could write stuff. Do you think that's just gone? And I said, oh, no. No, I said the iPhone and the iPad and all those things have opened up an entirely new garage industry. Because, honestly, what was behind the question was a sense of defeatism. Well, there's just not much I can do. You know, you did all those cool things because you were at the right place and the right time, and there's just not much I can do because I wasn't there. But maybe if I had been there, I could have done something, but I can't really now, so there's no point in me even trying. See, I mean, that was the kind of attitude that was underneath it. That time has passed and it's over. And I responded to that by saying, no, iPhone. And of course now with the iPad. I said, that's opened up a whole new cottage industry of programming, of people putting out these little things, and sometimes you catch a wave and they sell like crazy. There was one guy that had put out a little, I guess, Etch-a-Sketch like program for the iPhone. And people thought it was cool, and you know, he had like 99 cents or something like that. And a buddy was telling me that he sold like 4.2 million copies of this thing. And he gets 70%. You know, so he's doing okay. Now, there are a whole lot of people who don't have that type of success, granted. But the potential is there. You get a little idea, you try it, you put it out in the marketplace, you see what happens. And whether or not it's wildly successful, the very process of doing it is worth doing. So I had gotten this question, and as I was answering it and saying, oh no, that's the iPhone and that's ta-da, ta-da, you know, suddenly I realized, oh, this is why I brought my little iPhone reflector thingy with me. And so I walked over and I said, for instance, this. I said, I'm driving down the road last week, kind of minding my own business, and this idea just pops into my head. You know, you could take a little couple of mirrors, you could put them in this configuration, you could put your phone in it, ta-da. And I said, I went to Hobby Lobby and it works. I said, anybody have an iPhone here? The guy said, well, yeah, I do. So I walked over, put it in there, and he looked at it and goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. And so not only was I able to answer the question that, yes, there's still opportunities, but I was able to hold a demonstration and do a little show and tell and help, hopefully, give these young people some inkling that life is cool and it's marching forward and God's talking to you and whispering to you if you'll just get quiet enough to hear him, and he's going to give you ideas. It's last week that my son-in-law was finishing up, he's the youth minister at Praise Assembly, last week he was finishing up on a series on finances. And we were talking about that series, and his last message was going to be on saving. On delayed gratification, how you should save so that you have some resources. And we were talking about that, and I said, you know, it's interesting that in the parable of the talents, where Jesus says, this guy got 10, this guy got 5, this guy got 1, he comes back later. The guy who had 10 makes 10 more. The guy who had 5 makes 5 more. The guy who had 1 just buried it in his backyard, didn't do anything with it. And the master says to him, you know, you're basically foolish and lazy. And the very least you could have done would have been to put it in the bank so I could earn some interest. The very least you could have done. And I mentioned to my son-in-law, I said, what's interesting about that is that I think you take it as obvious that you shouldn't get overextended in your finances and you shouldn't be heavily in debt because, as Proverbs says, the borrower is a slave to the lender. But it's interesting that in Jesus' parable, he characterizes someone who takes their resources and simply puts it into savings as the very least you could do. Because I think there's other things that you can do with your resources that are more. Certainly, you can take money and you can put it into mutual funds, which are getting beat up right now. I understand that. And you can spread your risk over a bunch of companies. But even more beyond that, you might have some friends who are trying to start a business enterprise, and you might look at it, and you might think, you know, this has the potential of doing something. And you might get involved with them. Take some of your resources and participate in this business enterprise. Figure out if you have a seat at the table, and if you have a seat at the table, add your resources and your creativity and see what you can do. One of the things you can also do is fund your own businesses. And honestly, I wish I had started this sooner. When I turned 50, and I finally kind of got these things worked out, and it was just shortly before I turned 50, finally started getting some of these things worked out in my brain. You know, I looked around and I didn't have internet. And I thought, well, this is goofy. I'm tired of not having internet. Because I haven't had high-speed internet since I moved into my house out here before I started the business, which was 1993. So, I mean, I had been 1993, I turned 1990, oh man, I turned 35. And so it had been like 15 years. We've been in this house 16 years, never had had high-speed internet. And I decided, okay, this is goofy. I am doing something different. I'm backing into my garage. By the way, I rolled down my window to look for the mail, and there was no mail. And what I did is I looked at it, I started making some plans, I started working the plan. I talk about in the book that there is a formula for this, and it all comes back to farming. You go out, you look at the field, you see if the field is adequate to grow what you need to grow. You check the soil, you make sure the soil's good, you get some fertilizer, you get some seed. You plan what you're going to do, you take it a step at a time, you put some seed in the ground, you see if the seed grows. You care for it, you tend to it, and at some point you get a harvest. And that's exactly the pattern that I used with the internet business. I went around, knocked on people's doors, asked them if they were interested in high-speed internet, grew myself a little crop of interest, decided it was actually out there, got started, invested $35,000 in it, was paid back in about 2.5 years, and now that business gens me about $500 a month. It's not enormous, but I only do a couple of service calls a month on it, and it gens me $500 a month. And so I've been planting a lot of seeds with regards to books, but I understand that harvest probably isn't going to come for another 8-9 years because books are a whole different type of crop than internet service providers. And so when this new little business came along, potential business, I thought I'm going to use the same principles here. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to see what the field's like. I'm going to talk to people, see what there is to see. And so that really started me on a quest because it was a little idea that I just frankly couldn't get away from. And I couldn't find anybody else in the market. Now, there was some drama, you know, several weeks ago, but that's okay. I'll tell you about that in subsequent broadcasts. As for now, we're doing just fine. And we haven't sold anything yet, but the Lord has opened up the paths and everything's puttering along. And I'm close to a final design. I'm talking to the people to cut the mirrors for me. I'm talking to an injection molder, good people. You know, I like everybody I'm working with on this. I'm building some relationships. And I have learned a ton about injection molding and about CAD systems. And it's just been an amazing project so far. Is it ever going to get out the door? And am I going to make any money on it? I have no idea. I can't find out unless I put it out the door. And I have engaged my framework to make the decisions as to what comes next. So far, it seems to be working out. So we'll just see how this goes. This is Phil Ferrand. And I have made it home.